Hi, everybody, and welcome to Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. My name is Ray Serebrin, and I am the host of the Midlife Crisis Dance Party radio program on KPTZ in Port Townsend. The following is one of our story time segments that we present each week. I hope you enjoy it.
Ah, you're just in time for a story.
When the sky is dark and the moon aglow and the morning star burning from afar enters into view, all that I can say, all that I can know is that I'll be dreaming pieces of you.
Yes, my friends, it's time for story time on the Midlife Crisis Dance Party, and today's story is entitled Black Holes. In honor of National Marijuana Month and National Pancake Week, I thought we could discuss black holes, which have a gravitational pull that is so strong that both marijuana and pancakes and everything else we know and hold dear could and would be easily sucked into one. I recently read an article about the largest known water reservoir in the universe, which exists not on Earth, but in space inside a quasar, orbiting a supermassive black hole. Now, quasars are black holes at the center of galaxies that are gravitationally consuming surrounding disks of material while burping back out powerful energy. I do not know what that means, but apparently this burping is having some sort of profound impact upon the universe, and I thought I should mention it. Anyway, scientists have found that the vapor around this particular quasar represents enough water to fill all of the oceans on the Earth over 140 trillion times. Now that, my friends, is a lot of water, and it is also another remarkable fact about black holes that I could have never imagined. In fact, it seems to me that every time I turn around, there's some new discovery about black holes, so it seemed to me that it was time that I learn a bit about them. Now, the black holes of which I speak are not to be confused with the black hole of Calcutta or the black hole that is Donald Trump's heart. Black holes of which we speak were the black holes that were first contemplated in 1915 by Albert Einstein. First, a disclaimer. As I have surely told you many times before, Albert Einstein was my cousin. At least that's what my parents told me. I do not really think that Einstein was my cousin. I think instead that this is what Jews of a certain age, fresh off of the horrors of World War II, told their children to boost their self-esteem. You are Albert Einstein's cousin. Then again, maybe my parents got the name wrong and thought that Einstein's great work was called The Theory of Relativity. I'm not sure. In any case, the idea that the man who made sense of the universe was part of the family has the potential to make one feel very, very special. Unfortunately for me, it just made me wonder why, if I am from such brilliant lineage, why I'm not a lot smarter. But anyway, to start this discussion of black holes, I would like to explain to you what a black hole is. Even after reading Black Holes for Dummies, however, I have no idea what a black hole is. I know that they're holes. I know that they're black. I am further told that they have to do with gravity and space and time, which Einstein somehow bundled into a nice theory called general relativity. This general theory of relativity apparently describes gravity as a consequence of the warping of time-space. Massive objects like SUVs and elephants create a sort of dent in the cosmic fabric which passing bodies fall into because they're following those curved contours. General relativity also makes specific predictions about how this warping works. For example, the theory posits that these big, sucking gravitational gaps in space called black holes do exist, and that each of these gravitational monsters has an event horizon, which is a point of no return, beyond which nothing, even light, can escape. Furthermore, the event horizon is predicted to be roughly circular and of a certain predictable size. We're also told that if a human falls into a black hole, they will be torn to shreds and they will be unable to call home and tell anyone, hey, I just fell into a black hole and I can't use my arms because they've been snapped off and my ears are floating in space. We are also told that black holes are invisible, even though I just saw a picture of one on the internet. The first picture of an invisible black hole was released in 2019, and it was a really big deal when that happened. Scientists and astrophysicists, of course, know exactly what black holes are about, but I am not sure that any of the rest of us really do. In response to the release of the black hole photos in 2019, many news outlets went out into the street. They conducted man and woman in the street interviews, asking random citizens what they thought about the black hole. Now, let's face it, the image they were shown was just a picture of a hole. But the people who were questioned and who were experiencing their 15 minutes of fame felt the need to embellish their descriptions to the extent they could by saying things like, well, I feel this is a very, very, very dark black hole, or that the hole was the blackest, most funereal, most desolate black that could ever be, or that it was the utmost pitch of black, of maximum ultra inordinate darkness from hell. I mean, really, just how black can a black hole be? It seems to me that the news team missed a bet by not interviewing people from the paint companies, those whose job it is to name colors for a living, and who are the originators of such creative home decorating shades as Imperial Ebony Tapenade and Obsidian Oreo Equinox, or even Stygian Peppercorn Inferno. Those are the people who should have been consulted. Anyway, I am no closer to understanding what a black hole is than I was before. I wanted to understand. I cannot understand it. But I must give my cousin Albert kudos for, over 100 years ago, using only mathematical formulas, predicting something crazy and bizarre and impossible that scientists have proven to be true today. And that is a remarkable feat. It puts to shame my own important theories about how the bagels get into the bottom of the toaster or why turkeys have both white and dark meat. Those are important topics. Perhaps we will explore them in future weeks, assuming my ancestors, upon hearing this, do not exact some sort of revenge before then by having me inhaled into some sort of great sucking supernova. If that happens, I won't be here next week. I'm Ray Serebrin, and that was Stories from the Midlife Crisis Dance Party. We invite you to tune in every Thursday at 3 p.m. for more frivolity, absurdity, and melody. Thanks so much for listening.